Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. Wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, for the last 2 days I've been in Goa, in Taj Exotica, a very nice hotel. The Goan cuisine here is absolutely delicious, fantastic. They have a fantastic Goan chef, so I strongly recommend the Snapper. Very nice hotel, and of course, usual Taj service and so on. What I want to remind myself and you about is not this. It is standing here looking at the beach, looking at the Arabian Sea. What strikes me is the simultaneous message of permanence and change that comes from the sea. As I stand here and look, this is the same sea on which the Portuguese came here. You have, even now somebody standing for elections, a man by the name of Miguel Rodriguez. So huge Portuguese influence. Same sea where they came, they landed, and for hundreds and thousands of years before that, Allah knows best what was happening. But at the same time, if you look at the beach and the waves coming in and from the sea, each succeeding wave after wave after wave, every wave is different. Every single wave is different. So it is the same sea, but if you look at it in terms of the waves, then there is change, there is constant change. The macro image is the same, the micro image is constantly different. Every single second it's different. I relate this to our own humanity and thinking now specifically about what's happening in Aleppo and Syria. The same message, which is that humanity together, there is some level of sense of permanence. We are humans and we have been around for Allah knows how many million years. But if you look at it at a micro level, then every era is different, every age is different, every year is different, and we are living in a time today when the waves are coming in faster and faster. So every month is different, every week is different. So every single day, if you look at it, it's the same message as I look at the sea here. There is permanence and there is change. Now, how does this relate to what is happening today in Aleppo? I think one of the things that has been striking me is the change in role of the common people. And I'm not only talking about Muslims, I'm talking about the common people generally. You know, by and large, if you look at how politics, global politics has changed, generally speaking at a macro level, humanity moved from one ruling many, which is monarchies in whatever form, absolute monarchies, constitutional monarchies, dictatorships, which is really the same thing if you look at it. One ruling many, where the many have either no voice at all or they have a very limited voice. Two, the people ruling themselves through elected representatives who they have the opportunity of electing and putting in positions in a position where they can form, then where they can govern, or at the will of the people, the same representatives can be chucked out, they can be changed. I'm saying this all in so many words instead of just using the one word democracy, because democracy has many meanings, just like monarchy has many meanings. So, but by and large, if you look at it, this is what is, this is how it has emerged, and this is how it, to the best of my assessment and knowledge, this is what the future looks like, which is more and more democracy. Now, that's not necessarily something. It is good in obviously in many respects. The rule of one over many is not a good system. The best system is where people self-govern through representatives. So that is fine, but how it is done, how it actually emerges, what actually comes up on the ground. India is a great example of what can happen in a democracy, in the name of democracy, where we have a democracy in which our feudalistic tendencies, our feudalistic rites and rituals, our feudalistic positions are all the same. There's an article of mine, same chairs, different bottoms. I'm asking Umar to send the link with this reminder. Take a look at that. You need to know Indian history at the time of independence, and also you need to know who was there and the names of people. I've translated the Hindi words, the names allegorically into English names, so you will recognize that, and I hope it will also bring a smile to your face. But at the same time, it shows that it's really not really, things have changed, but nothing has changed, if I can put it that way. Same chairs, different bottoms. So Indian democratic experience is a very good crucible to test what democracy means, and to see the different forms of democracy, where things change, but not necessarily either too much, or they don't necessarily change, really speaking. Now, the point is that, having said all of that, the issue is, therefore, take Aleppo, take the kind of oppression that is happening in the world, what is it that we can do? Yesterday, Fajr reminder also was, what is it that I can do? I'm taking it a bit broader with that and say, what is that we can do? And who is we? We the citizens of the world. We the people who put the representatives who decide on our behalf and in our name, whether we like it or not, we are the ones who put them there. So therefore, we have a concomitant responsibility to who we put in positions of authority. We can't just wash our hands of this and say, well, you know, this is so-and-so's problem and this is so-and-so's thing. If you look at the language that we use, despite the fact that we have, or we say we have elected government, we still use a language which is reminiscent of, or which smells of, I think smells is a better word. It's not an aroma, it's a smell. Smells of monarchies and dictatorships. We use the name of one person and we say, this person's rule. How can you have a rule when you have, how can you have the rule of one person when you are talking about a democracy? And where is the question of rule of one person? We say, so-and-so is ruling in this country, so-and-so is ruling in that country. Where is the question of ruling when that person who's ruling is supposed to be an elected president or an elected prime minister or elected whoever? Where is the question of ruling? It is the rule of the people. And if the people disempower themselves and call somebody that they elected a ruler, and then, you know, who's responsible? The reason I'm saying is that today, if you look at what's happening in Aleppo and elsewhere, the bottom line is not to get stuck in whether who is supporting Assad or who is supporting, you know, whichever evildoer. The question is to look at what is it that brings this all about. And the answer to that is that what it is that brings this all about is the military-industrial complex, which we call our, on which our economies are based, especially the economies of so-called developed countries. These are all amazingly politically loaded terms, developed countries, meaning that one way of interpreting developed country is that development has stopped because it is developed. You know, so what's beyond that, right? A developing country is still in the pink stage, so it is developing, but the developed country is developed, so it's done, finished, signed, sealed, dusted off. So now what? And that developed situation is where the economy is based on manufacturing and selling weapons of mass destruction, and then to sit and wonder and say, why is it happening? Why is Bashar al-Assad so evil? Why is he killing people? If you are going to sell weapons to somebody, especially who buys weapons? I mean, I find me one weapons bill that is signed by Mother Teresa, for example, right? Or by the Pope. Is Pope Francis buying weapons? Seriously, I mean, think about this. Who buys weapons? It's people who are murderers, no matter whether they wear suits or whatever else. People who are genocide, purveyors of genocide. These are the people who are buying the weapons. So you sell weapons to those people, and then you sit in absolute astonishment and you say, oh my God, see what he's doing. I mean, what do you do with an ice cream cone? Eh? Somebody gives you an ice cream cone in your hand. What do you do? You say, oh my God, see how he licks the ice cream cone. What's he going to do with the ice cream cone? Stick his nose in it or put it on his head like a cap. I mean, seriously, I think we have to get intelligent. We meaning the people of the world. I'm not even talking about the Muslims. I'm talking everybody. And I'm saying this because I think it's high time we get out of our comfort areas and we start doing some useful stuff. And that useful stuff is go talk to your neighbor. The useful stuff is go and have meetings where you call people who call normal human beings, meaning people like yourself and myself, hopefully, who can sit together and say, look, this is ours. This is not the problem of Donald Trump or this one or that one. This is ours because everyone here, whoever is elected, has been elected. And we are the people of the world who have elected them. And therefore, it is our job to sit down and say, all right, what did we elect? So if we are going to have economies which are based on manufacture of weapons and selling of weapons, then believe me, get ready for death, because that's the only thing which can happen if you are going to manufacture and sell weapons. We have to stop the military-industrial complex, this whole concept of saying that prosperity can come out of selling death. We directly or indirectly have become the purveyors of death, and may Allah protect us. This is the worst thing we can do. It's no good talking about peace when you are selling weapons. It's as simple as that. If you want peace, then we have to stop selling weapons. We have to stop manufacturing weapons. We have to change the swords into plowshares. We have to look at alternate models, and there's no need. It's not rocket science. We don't have to go to the moon to look for answers. The answers are right here. We have to use technology to build. We have to use technology to take away pain. We have to use technology to cure illness. We have to use technology to create greater and greater means of bringing prosperity to the world. Focus on entrepreneurship. Focus on small and medium enterprises. Focus on creating employment, focus on creating beauty, instead of focusing on death and destruction. I mean, this is really has to stop. I think it's, and it's not, believe me, it's not the rulers of the world who are going to stop this, because that is the 1% which actually benefits from all this. If you think that all the death and destruction in Aleppo is only death and destruction, it is not. It's somebody is benefiting from that. Somebody is laughing all the way to the bank while you are laughing all the way to the cemetery. That is the reality of life. And if you are too stupid to understand that, it's your problem. But look at it seriously and say, what is it that I can do? Go talk to people, get to people together and say, how can we face reality? How can we get real and say that goodness does not flow out of the barrel of a gun? Melt the gun down. Turn it into something which is actually useful to humanity. That is what we need to do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sense and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to spread goodness around us and not violence and death and destruction. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.